Help us to commence his worship by singing hymn number 1075. 1075. Thou hidden love of God, whose height, whose depth unfathomed no man knows, I see from far thy beauteous light, and inly sigh for thy repose. My heart is pained, nor can it be at rest till it finds rest in thee. Hymn number 1075.
Thank you.
Let us read for our instruction from the Word of God out of the book of Genesis, chapter 17. The 17th chapter in the book of Genesis. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, or the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. And this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house, or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of any of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting token. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, O that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were brought up, were bought with his money, every male, among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in his house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and help us now at the throne of grace. O thou gracious Lord, how we need that direction and leading of the Spirit of God as we now come near unto thee to call upon thy name. O Lord, what a great thing it is for a worm of the earth to call upon that name, to approach unto the Most High God. We who, Lord, are but dust and ashes, dried timber, to approach unto the eternal fire. Oh, how can it be that we shall come and not be burned and consumed? Oh, the wonder of it. We do bless thee, Lord, that thou hast made such a provision, that thou hast provided such a place. Thou hast made known that place by thee. And now, O Lord, may there be the bringing of us unto it, leading our souls by precious faith into the secret of it, showing unto us even now, Lord, the great wonder of the glory of the Son of God, in all the beauty of his person, that he it is whom God hath appointed, and in whom God is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. Oh, may we come, Lord, by faith, looking unto Jesus. May we venture there. Oh, may we be helped there to come and to beseech of God that thou would have mercy upon us. Oh, we do pray, O Lord, that thou wilt give us such a glimpse of him by faith, that we may fear him and love him. Oh, we come, Lord, this day then and pray that thou wilt remember us. Oh, again we do thank thee for the mercies granted, sparing of our lives, in granting that we might gather on this thy day. We thank thee for the day of rest. We thank thee for the time appointed, the coming together. Oh, these are all, Lord, wonderful things. And yet, Lord, they still come so far short of that true worship of God. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant that unto us here this day, that we may feel indeed our hearts being set free from the world all around us and within us. We have been singing, Lord, of those things which would so intrude, the things which, as it were, divide our hearts, which keep us back from thee, things which we need thee to subdue, Lord. We need the flesh to be crucified and weaned from them, that we might be delivered from all such things and the multitudes of things, Lord, which by nature we are so engaged with and oftentimes overcome with. Oh, that there might be an examining of our hearts and souls before thee, and there might be that confession driven repentance of them. Oh, Lord, bless us then. But we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt then help us, that we may also delight in thee. For, Lord, it's one thing to be set free from the things of this world, from the vanities, the vexations, the sinful natures and pleasures. And yet, Lord, all that can be done, and we may not yet worship. Oh, for grace to come near and worship at the footstool of mercy, to worship God in the beauty of holiness. And we would worship thee, Lord, in that way whereby we cast ourselves upon thee. Oh, what a worship that will be if we're unable to do so. To commit all our cares, our concerns, to confess all our sins. Lord, what worship is in all of that. Oh, help us then. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt pardon sin for thy name's sake. Show unto us, Lord, there is forgiveness with thee. There is, Lord, even now, that pardoning nature in the Lord Jesus. And the delight of God to remove the sins of poor sinners. Oh, Lord, come to us then. Oh, but we pray, O Lord, that thou wilt be pleased this day to come also and visit us with thy salvation. And open to us, Lord, even now, the secret place of it, the way of it, that we might see, Lord, the way thou hast ordained for a poor soul to be saved. In and through the blood of the Lord Jesus, that atonement and the sacrifice. Oh, we come praying that thou wilt give that grace that we may, by faith, feel our hearts stayed there. Oh, help us then. Oh, surely, Lord, thou knowest that we by nature are so far from thee, then draw us near and do bless. Oh, but surely thou knowest this morning, Lord, those souls who in coming have felt a longing that there might be a crumb that will fall from thy table. There might be a word that shall be applied to their soul. There might be some truth that will be opened up to their heart. Oh, that there might be a little portion for them. Lord, we pray that thou wilt cause that there shall be handfuls of purpose left this morning. There might be those who, like Ruth of old, would glean those handfuls, gather them up, carry them home. And oh, there, Lord, there would be the going over them. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt bless. Would thou direct the word of God in each case. We do pray, Lord, that there might be that sacred entrance of thy word into the hearts. Oh, help us, Lord, to come then and make these requests known and to beseech of thee earnestly that thou wilt indeed bless us and build us up. But surely, Lord, we come and pray that there might be yet that fruitfulness. For, Lord, we feel so much the barrenness. Oh, what a barren state we are in. What barrenness we feel. Oh, to be lively. Oh, to bring forth fruit in season. To know something, Lord, of being a little branch in the vine. That there might be that living sap that flows down into our heart and soul. Oh, that there might be then, Lord, something of the fruit of love, the fruit of faith, that fruit of hope, the fruit of every grace, that there might be the fruit of meekness and temperance and holiness. Oh, for a measure of these fruits, may it please thee, Lord, to impart them unto us and bless us then. We need, Lord, that fruit of repentance. A precious fruit it is, a fruit that makes angels in heaven rejoice, a fruit that causes delight to the heart of God when a soul repents of sin, turns unto the Lord. Oh, Lord, bless us then with such grace. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt yet also show unto us that way of peace. Oh, that we might walk in that measure of peace. Lord, how we long for it. We long, Lord, to prove that peace of God that passeth understanding. Oh, impart to us now, Lord, that grace. Oh, remember then, Lord, each case. Remember the families. Bless them each. Be with them in their homes. Be with them, Lord, when they're apart. Oh, be very gracious unto them. Help the parents in all their needs. Oh, may they be faithful. May they be true examples. May they, O Lord, give evidence of that fear of God. But help the children to heed, to obey, to learn, to submit. Oh, bless them then. We do pray, Lord, that thou remember yet those in the midst of life with all their great burdens, responsibilities, obligations. Lord, oh, undertake for them. Grant strength for each day and a blessing too. But oh, may there be also, Lord, that grace given that they may realize that still there is the great matter of the soul, the one thing needful. And may not, Lord, the prosperity of this world or the cares of life choke out that truth. Oh, have mercy yet upon them. Remember yet, Lord, the aged friends. Remember them in mercy. We thank thee for thy mercy's extending life. And we hope, Lord, that there might be yet a divine purpose of real good and for the glory of thy name. Remember various ones in their afflictions. Help them, Lord, and undertake. Oh, do yet appear. Grant that mercy and healing, restoring as it shall please thee. And where, Lord, indeed, the affliction is such that there is but death ahead, oh, may there be also a sustaining, supporting, comforting of the soul. Lord, help them each. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou, oh, wilt then remember each case and each need in thy loving kindness. Remember yet, Lord, those who are seeking. Oh, how we do pray that thou wilt lead them on, that draw them nearer and nearer. Oh, direct all their ways. May they feel more and more, Lord, something of their hearts so lifted up and drawn out after thee. Bless them then. Oh, we come, Lord, praying that thou wilt now forgive our sins. Oh, thou hast seen, Lord, all our transgressions. How we've come so short in all of our deeds and actions and words. Oh, forgive, Lord, and wash us thoroughly from our sin. Accept now our thank offerings, and we need grace to truly thank thee for many cares, provisions, blessings, comforts. We thank thee for those things. We thank thee yet for the word of God and for that person of the Savior. We thank thee therefore that blessed hope that's in him. Oh Lord, grant that we may experience that hope and rest therein. We ask that thou wilt forgive all thou seest amiss and wash us thoroughly from every sin for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now continue by singing hymn number 957. Why sinks my weak, desponding mind? Why heaves my heart the anxious sigh? Can sovereign goodness be unkind? Am I not safe since God is nigh? Hymn 957. Seeking the Lord's gracious help, I direct your thoughts this morning over to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 17, reading verse 3. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. Verse 22. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Genesis chapter 17, verse 3. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. Verse 22. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. This was indeed one of the most remarkable days in the life of Abraham. Remarkable for various reasons. The Lord appeared unto him. That would make it remarkable at any time. Any appearance of God to any poor soul is the most remarkable thing. It is something very rare, really. Very rare as an event that takes place in the world, and very rare in a person's own life. When the Lord is pleased to draw near and visit. You see, we may have in our lifetime various times when we believe the Lord has been our help. The Lord has undertaken. The Lord has gone before. The Lord has made known something of His goodness and mercies. And a wonderful thing if we can trace some of those things out. But oh, defend those times when the Lord makes His presence known. What a difference that is. What a sacred time. How the heart is so filled then with God Himself. There is at that time there is a losing sight of all the things around, and everything has become dung. All then will become vanity and vexation when the Lord comes in His loving kindness and mercies. The Lord shows Himself unto a poor sinner. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. Well, what a time of visitation this was for Abram. It was a time in which Abram would be delivered from his enslavement. And you may think, well, how dare you say that Abram was enslaved? Well, he was enslaved. He was enslaved in different ways. The poor man proved that he was but a man. He was weak in himself. He, of himself, could not stand. In what way was he enslaved? In what way did he need deliverance from that state? Well, we read in the previous chapter how that Abraham had turned and consorted with his own reasonings. The reasoning of his wife, the two of them together. Oh, they reasoned out how it was that he would get that promised child, the heir that God had said would come. They thought that as the years had gone by and that they had no seed of themselves, that there must be some other way. And they would now assert that way. They would begin to work. Abraham and Sarai, they now consulted their carnal reasoning. And oh, different, that carnal reasoning will never do us any good. Not in the things of God. Not in the revelation of the Lord. It will never bring it on. It will really but hinder it. It stands in the way. It can't fully ever stop it either. But oh, different what conflict it causes. He was enslaved to that. He tried, as it were, to bring about the promise in his own way. But secondly, he was enslaved in this. The flesh was now engaged. No different when the flesh becomes engaged in something, you can be sure the outcome won't be to the glory of God, nor will it be to the good of man. The trouble that would bring upon Abram in his house would soon be known. There would be conflict. There would be trouble. There would be trial. There would be hardship. There would be sorrow. The flesh was engaged. Whenever the flesh is engaged in us and we are engaged in it, regarding the things of God, it will be the same outcome. Nowhere in the Word of God do we find that anyone who was engaged in the flesh to bring about the divine purpose of the works of God ever profited by it. They all came to the place where they reaped the consequences. They reaped ill. They reaped much grief. Oh, the working of the flesh. David tried it. He brought nothing but sorrow. Solomon tried it. He brought tremendous grief. Oh, we think of the Lord's dear people when they were engaged in the flesh, how they all proved the bitterness thereof. Abraham was enslaved at the present time. But then he was enslaved in this. His hope was misplaced. Oh, think of it so, when our hope is misplaced. He had put his hope now in himself. He had put his hope in Hagar. He put his hope in Ishmael. Oh, what a false hope it was. What a deceitful hope. And poor Abram, he was just enslaved there. Think of it, dear friend, if God hadn't appeared, how he would have gone on thinking that this was now the answer. A misplaced hope. Oh, dear friend, beware of misplaced hope. That comes so quickly into us. It seems so plausible. It seems that we could justify it. It seems right. But it's all misplaced. Abram was enslaved. And he couldn't now deliver himself from it. We never can. When once ensnared and overcome, until and unless the Lord appears to break the snare, to set us free, we are caught and held fast. We're caught in our own workings and contrivings. And some of us have learned in past experience too something of the sadness of that and the bitterness of it. Well, Abraham needed to be set free from that. But not only that, we have here in this wonderful account, Abraham's enlargement. He would become the father of many. And it would not be through Ishmael. That would have been a sad end. But oh, God had something better in store. God knew what he would do. And he would work now even with Abraham still. All that Abraham had done, or Abram at this point yet had done, could not in the end prevent the divine purpose of God. Oh, we do thank God for that truth. That when we too are left to our own devices, they cannot in the end prevent what God has determined to do. Oh, Abraham will be enlarged. He will become exceeding fruitful. The poor old man, he didn't have any fruit yet. And even Ishmael was not the fruit that God intended. Who would have thought that from such a dry stem, a 99-year-old man, there would be such fruitfulness that would spring forth? But oh, the Lord said, I will make thy seed as the stars in heaven for multitude and as the sand upon the seashore, exceeding fruitful. Oh, the enlargement of God for his dear servant here. But you see, from the account that we have here this morning, it wasn't just for Abraham or Abram. It was for us too. For those who fear God, those who seek and wait for him, those who are brought to that place that God must, and he alone must be their help. Oh, what an encouragement there is then. And so we read that when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am the Almighty God. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. Beautiful word. Precious thing. Oh, for such a time when God may talk with one. When he might talk to one personally. When we may perceive it is him speaking. Oh, it's not that we now may have God set before us as he appeared unto Abram here. But oh, then he does speak through his word. And he will cause us to know the same effect as Abraham here did. When God appeared, when God spoke, Abram fell on his face. Abraham was abased. Abraham was humbled and brought low. And if and that will be the same to any soul today, when the Lord appears, when the Lord draws nigh, there will be a sweet sense of it. There will be a perception of it. You will be in the exercise of it. Oh, how often it is that a soul has been burdened and troubled, pressed down, praying, seeking. And when the Lord appears, dear friend, it's in the exercise of all of that. And they then will be abased before him. Like Abram here, felt they will fall on their face in measure. Oh, they will be so brought so low before the Lord. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. And you see, Defan, this is something that you, if there's grace in your soul, if there's really life in your heart, the fear of God there, this is what you will long for, that the Lord will talk to you. As I was reading in the past couple of days and going over this chapter, and that word, and that actually it was the word in verse 22 that first struck me. And he left off talking with Abram. He left off talking. And then as I went back to the beginning of the chapter again and come to that word, and God talked with him, to me there was something that seemed so exceeding wonderful. That the God of heaven should humble himself so, should condescend. You see, dear friend, it's one thing when you and I are humbled before him, but when he humbles himself to look unto us and to speak unto us, oh, how exceeding great that is. How is it that the great God, and if we have any realization of how great he really is, I should say rather this, the higher we have an understanding of his greatness, the deeper we understand it, the more it will become a wonder that he should ever humble himself to such worms as we are. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. But you see, different, it came to me like this, that when the Lord appears to talk with any of his people, he's got something to say. His visits aren't like visits that we might make casually. Never. The Lord has something to convey. He has something that he will make known. He has a revelation that he will now make known to the soul, as he did to Abram here when he talked with him. He would now speak to Abraham of a covenant. I want, with God's help, to consider something of what God spake here unto Abram at this point yet. First, the covenant that's confirmed. Secondly, to notice something of that covenant as is explained. Thirdly, to consider something of that covenant as that covenant is attested by the Lord unto Abraham. In what way is it attested? Well, we have this covenant confirmed. First of all, the time. It was a time when Abraham was 99 years old. When this covenant is now, as it were, renewed. God had already given him the promise. He had indeed made it known unto Abram. And at this time, Ishmael was 13 years old. That promise had been given before Ishmael was born. So think of the years that had transpired. When God spake that promise, and now he comes. He doesn't come yet to fulfill the promise. He doesn't come now to cause that promise should become fruitful yet. No, that's yet for a time to yet appear. He's only come to affirm it, confirm it unto Abraham. That promise God will make known as still true and real. That promise would be shown again that it wasn't yet in any way that Abraham's already attended to. It was not to be an Ishmael. This was not God's way. God has come to now confirm that covenant with Abram in a more specific way. Or to put it again, dear friend, in that way that the Lord, when he comes to his dear people, he makes known unto them the certainty of the thing, the certainty of it. Oh, have you and I such things that we need the Lord to make known the certainty of? There will be so many things which will, as it were, seem to come against it. As it were, to prevent it. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. God confirmed this covenant again with the name that he spake unto Abram here. We have that name given to us, the Almighty God, in verse 1. I understand that in the old Hebrew it's actually El Shaddai, which means the all-sufficient one. All-sufficient. And what a term for the God of heaven. What a term to reveal himself to poor sinners. The all-sufficient. He's all-sufficient in himself. He's all-sufficient to himself. He needs nothing to add to himself. He's all-sufficient there. But he's all-sufficient in that which he does for his dear people. He's all-sufficient in the things he speaks. He's all-sufficient in the things he provides. Oh, the all-sufficient God himself. When Paul spake in one of the epistles to the church, our sufficiency is of him. Oh, to learn that precious truth. What about your sufficiency this morning, Saul? Where do you seek that sufficiency from? On what ground are you hoping for it? Sufficiency. Oh, to come to this, the all-sufficient God. Oh, this was the confirming now of God unto Abraham. I am the El Shaddai. The all-sufficient. From time to time, we find that God comes in Revelation 2 as their people in the Old Testament times with different names. All of them speaking of himself, but declaring something more of himself as they were able to bear it. But then thirdly, regarding this confirming of the covenant here to Abram, it was something that was necessary for it, and that was for Abraham's walk. The Almighty God said unto him, walk before me, and be thou perfect. The word perfect there means be thou upright. Walk before me. Oh, dear friend, what a great point that is. When the Lord comes to bless any soul, different, that will be what he will require of such. Walk before me. Walk in my light. Walk in such a way that you will set me before thine eyes. Walk before me. Oh, different, to walk in that path, in that humble way, God always set before us. Have you and I today a real reason to believe that we have done that? Have we not cause to say that we have sinned so and come so short? That everything that we do and everything that we say and everything in which we act, we have set God before us. The plans that we make, have we set God before us? For that's what the word means here. Walk before me. Set me before thine eyes. You turn to the book of Deuteronomy, and there the servant of God Moses wrote to the children of Israel that they were to make a plaque on the forehead. In a way, it was to remind them that they were walking before God. They were to behave in such a way that their God would be pleased, that he would honor it. Oh, Abram, walk before me. See, when this word came, dear friend, it was after he'd walked in this flesh, as we've already mentioned. And then he wasn't walking before God. He wasn't setting God before him. Walk before me. Oh, this was the confirming now of the covenant that God would make unto him. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. Be thou upright. Again. To walk before God, dear friend, it would be this. It would be to wait upon God. Wait upon him. Abraham, you haven't waited. Abraham would say, but Lord, I've waited over 20 years from that promise. Da, says the Lord, you haven't waited. Oh, dear soul, what a time that is. A waiting time, a testing time that the Lord has appointed. Be sure of it, dear friend. Oh, though you and I so weak in faith and unbelief, if we have any at all, then, oh, how we have to sigh that we know so little this waiting. Wait thou upon God. When David speaks that in the Psalms, he's as much as saying what God did here. Walk before me and be perfect. Now, that's something of this covenant that's confirmed in this measure unto Abram. But now, different, there's the covenant established. In three ways, this covenant is established unto Abram. First of all, it was established regarding the promised seed. Now, different, this God had made known to Abraham before. Just the word of promise. But now the Lord is coming to make it clearer for Abraham. He's going to make it very clear that that seed was to come from Sarah. No other. That seed was to be a seed that God indeed had appointed. A promised seed. It would be a seed that God would so watch over. That God would raise up that seed. You see, we might say that God now is doing for Abraham what the prophet Isaiah spake in his prophecy in the 28th chapter. It shall be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. What God has said before, he comes now to confirm and bring and add more to it. The Lord always, when he comes, he adds a little bit more to the things that he has said already. There will be an increase in the knowledge that he will then give. We read in the Gospels that the Lord Jesus, he spake unto the people in parables. And then this word is added, as they were able to receive it. Able to receive it. In other words, the Lord didn't speak all different things at one time. They weren't able. But by one parable and then another parable, one truth and a second truth, building up upon each other as they were able to bear. Oh, see the wonderful condescension of the Lord here. See how he understands the feebleness of his dear people, their weaknesses. He understands how that they can only take in and grasp just but a little at a time. Oh, this is what we find here with God dealing with Abram. And he talked with him in opening now this covenant of this promised seed. Now, there are three aspects of this promised seed. There's the heavenly. By that, we understand Christ. He was that seed of Abram, the promised seed. Abraham didn't understand that aspect at the first. When God first made the promise, oh, there was more, there would be a revelation further of it, and a discovery. When God would tell unto Abraham that in thy seed should all nations of the earth be blessed. Oh, there would be then an opening now of Abraham's understanding to something of the glory of this covenant that God here now explains. Abraham, there is in your seed the seed of seeds. There is in your seed that one that will come forth out of thy loins. Him who will be unto all people the blessing. Oh, what a promise it is to Abraham that the Lord confirms in this covenant the seed that's promised. But oh, to find that seed, that heavenly seed, that will be the most fruitful of all of Abraham's seed. For all others will spring forth from that. Oh, what blessings there will be that the world itself will not be able to tell. What a fullness there is in this promise that God made now to Abraham here. Oh, but dear friend, do you and I see something of its blessedness? Is there that in our own soul that goes out with longing desire that we too might know something of that seed of Abraham, that heavenly seed, to know that divine person, the glory of him, to perceive something of his grace and mercies? Oh, this seed. Here Abraham now is given to see a little more of what God has intended. But then there was a spiritual seed that God spake of. What was this? Well, dear friend, it would be all those followers of Abraham. Those who by faith followed in his ways. Those who believed as he believed. He is said to be the father of all them that believe. Oh, what a seed that was. And when the Lord promised that he would increase and multiply that seed, dear friend, he was looking to that seed in that way. Whether they be Jew or Gentile. Wherever they be found in all the world, those who are brought by that grace of God to believe on the Son of God, they are the spiritual seed of Abraham. And what a seed that is that God has promised there in that spiritual seed. Ah, you see, different you and I, if we are one of them that have been brought to the measure of faith, brought in measure to truly know him and to be found in him, we too are part of that seed. But then there was that natural seed, and that being the nation of the Hebrews. A nation that was yet unknown, but yet a nation that would become so predominant, that would become so preeminent in the Word of God, in the history of the world. And they are a very preeminent seed. God was faithful to the promise there that he made to Abram, and he talked with him. Oh, you see, dear friend, now what this talk consisted of. The wonder of it, the blessedness of it, as God talked. This indeed, we might say, was language of the highest sense. A conversation so heavenly. And God talked. But it will be the same when he talks to a poor sinner still today. He will speak of such things to them and much more. Oh, the covenant now explained in that way, the promised seed. But now secondly, it was also explained in this, the promised land. There was a land that God had appointed for that people. And though at the present that land was possessed by mighty nations and giants, that land God had designed, God had purposed, and God would provide for that seed of Abram. Oh, this was now the covenant explained in that way. A covenant regarding the promised seed. A covenant regarding the promised land. And so it became known as that. How often did in the people of God in years afterward refer to it as the land of promise. that which God promised to his people. Nehemiah speaks of it. Daniel speaks of it. Those promised land, that promised land that God ensures to his people. Ah, but you see, dear friend, it's only but a faint representation of the land that God has appointed for his people. Still today, there is that land. A land of pure delight, as we sometimes sing. That land where God himself dwells. And God talked with him. But then there was a third thing in the explanation of this covenant, and the confirming of it. And that, therefore, was the promised blessing. Now, Abraham needed this promised blessing. He might well have wondered if he had in some way now destroyed it by going into Hagar. But no, he could not, even in that action, alter this blessing. He could not shut it up. And the Apostle Paul, when writing to the Galatians, he brings before us something of this truth in the third chapter, that the blessing of Abraham, mark that word, the blessing, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seed, seeds as of many, but as of one. Oh, the apostle now gives us the interpretation of that which God spake to Abraham. We could little have understood it, reading it just in Genesis there. But here, by the blessed Spirit's direction and teaching, the apostle opens up to us now the fullness of that blessing. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. The blessing. The blessing of heaven above. The blessing of salvation. The blessing of sin pardon. All those blessings which Christ has purchased for all his dear people. These are those blessings now that Abraham has been given. Christ will perform, coming out of his loins. God talked with him. Oh, you see, dear friend, here now was indeed something of the great wonder of this blessing. And the fulfillment of it, and the Lord, as it were, now enlarging Abraham's coast in it. Wonderful it is. And perhaps some of us this morning, we hear it, we read it, and yet we can't understand it. Oh, dear friend, that's our infirmity. That is our fault. That is a sign of our sinful weakness yet. But though we cannot understand, God is faithful. Paul again writing to the Ephesians speaks, if we believe not, he is faithful to his promise. Here indeed, if it is our firm support, here's that support for all that believe on him. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him in this way of the covenants. But now lastly, what about this covenant attested? Now Abraham will have this covenant, as it were, affirmed to his own heart by the change of his name. For notice how God speaks here, immediately in this conversation. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram. Abram, I understand, means the father of a hill. Father of a hill. Abram was the name of a man that came out of Ur of the Chaldees. Abram was a man of the name of a man who was an idolater, who had not God intervened, had not God appeared, would have remained in that state for all his days. But that name now must be changed. The Lord speaks of his dear people, and I will give them a new name, even an everlasting name, which shall not be cut off. Thy name shall no more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, the father of a great multitude. Oh, Abraham, you can't see it. You can no way look yet at any fruit. But I tell you, Abraham, you will be the father of a great multitude. Oh, this word of God here to the dear man. Dear friend, I don't think you and I can fully comprehend and grasp the scene when God spake this to Abraham. And he felt something of his own barrenness, and the barrenness of Sarah, his wife. For you know how that, a little bit later in this chapter, Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He was going back. He was still trying, as it were, to lay hold of that one. See how weak he was. What an answer God gave him. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee the son. Abraham, here's where it must come from. Not of the flesh. It is the child of promise, Abraham. You're not grasping it yet. You're not fully comprehending this great blessing of the promise. Is what God is saying. Oh, defend. Is not this the picture of so many as we who would fear God and follow him and hope on him? And yet there's so little that we can grasp of the fullness of the promise and the blessing. Abraham, look here, is what God is saying. Consider this. Sarah shall bear the son, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Abraham again, we read that he speaks here. Shall Sarah bear a child when she's 90 years old? Oh, and he couldn't understand yet. Ah, that's why the name is changed. Abraham. You know, different from then on, God always called him Abraham. A reminder to him of the promise. A multitude is coming. A multitude is on the horizon. God's horizon, not Abraham's. All this changing of the name. He would become not only a father of the multitudes, but he would become a figurehead. You know, we read of the figurehead of Adam. A figurehead. As in Adam all die, the figurehead of Christ, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. These are the two grand figureheads. But there is this figurehead. Abraham is set up now as that figurehead of the faithful, of those believers. Oh, what a figurehead he will become, and a representation of that work of grace in the soul of all such. All who do believe on the Son of God, they are accounted the seed of Abraham, we're told. Not of Adam, but of Abraham. Ah, this now was the testing of this covenant unto Abram. And then, not only was there a new name given, but there's a new sign. And that was the sign of circumcision. The cutting of the flesh. Now, dear friend, this too was part of this wonderful talk that God had with Abraham. And the greater part of this chapter deals with how Abraham was to circumcise all those in his house, whether they were born there or they were bought, whether they had come in by the end of generation or as a stranger. But all in that house must be circumcised. A sign, again, to Abraham of all the promise of God that he would make unto his dear people. The wonder of this sign in that way. You know, for a time they didn't keep it up when they were journeying through the wilderness. Sadly. And there were certain times. You remember that when Moses would go and appear before Pharaoh, he was stopped in the way until his wife cut off the foreskins of his two sons. A sign again, a remembrance of the mighty promise of God. Well, dear friend, the Lord must give us understanding in all of these precious truths that are here spoken unto Abraham. But then we come down to that last verse 22, and he left off talking with him. You see, dear friend, God had just so much to say at this time. And he leaves off. Doesn't mean that he's done talking to Abraham. He will appear again. But for the time. Oh, what a teaching is here. What lessons for us. God comes at times in the lives of his dear people. And he visits and he talks. He has things to tell. And he leaves off talking. And they will have to go on in the strength of that for many a day. For Abraham, it was well over 13 years from the time God had last talked to him till this time. It wouldn't be that long the next time before God would again talk to him. But oh, even these are the lessons for us. And he left off talking with him. And God went up from Abraham. He departed. But oh, even Abraham now had an understanding deepened in his own soul of what God had promised in the beginning. But now it became a little clearer. It wasn't that it was perfect yet, nor he perfect in it. That would come still further on. Oh, you see, to find it brings us back to that word, the Apostle Paul, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, may the Lord bless these truths unto our own hearts for his name's sake. Let us continue now by singing hymn number 251. 251. When Jesus, with his mighty love, visits my troubled breast, my doubts subside, my fears remove, and I'm completely blessed. Hymn 251. do pray that thou wilt now forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss. And take us on to our homes in peace, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each. Amen.